From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Today's text is found in Psalm 62 and verse 5. My expectation is from Him. It is the believer's privilege to use this language. If he is looking for aught from the world, it is a poor expectation indeed. But if he looks to God for the supply of his wants, whether in temporal or spiritual blessings, his expectation will not be a vain one. Constantly he may draw from the bank of faith and get his needs supplied out of the riches of God's loving kindness. This I know, I had rather have God for my banker than all the Rothschilds. My Lord never fails to honor his promises, and when we bring them to his throne, he never sends them back unanswered. Therefore I will wait only at his door, for he ever opens it with a hand of munificent grace. At this hour I will try him anew. But we have expectations beyond this life. We shall die soon, and then our expectation is from Him. Do we not expect that when we lie upon the bed of sickness, He will send angels to carry us to His bosom? We believe that when the pulse is faint and the heart heaves heavily, some angelic messenger shall stand and look with loving eyes upon us and whisper, Sister Spirit, come away. As we approach the heavenly gate, we expect to hear that welcome invitation, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We are expecting harps of gold and crowns of glory. We are hoping soon to be amongst the multitude of shining ones before the throne. We are looking forward and longing for the time when we shall be like our glorious Lord, for we shall see Him as He is. Then if these be thine expectations, O my soul, live for God. Live with the desire and resolve to glorify Him, from whom cometh all thy supplies, and of whose grace in thy election, redemption, and calling, it is that thou hast any expectation of coming glory.
The day is set, the time is come, the witnesses arrive. The course is marked, the men prepared, all weights are set aside. Positions are assumed and taken, energies now reawaken. Empty thoughts are all forsaken, I must win the prize. Upon this race with patience, I'll run this race with joy. I'll fix my eyes on Jesus' face, the one who saved me by his matchless grace. My course is set, my God designed it all. Great cause, I will not live for selfish gain or die for man's applause. I
Savior, love my passion, King is every blessed word I'll cling. To him is every wish I'll bring till Jesus calls me home. On this race with patience, I'll run this race with joy.
Imagine a boy growing up under the influence of a drunken father, participating in the violence and bloodshed of Northern Ireland in the 1970s, and being imprisoned in the Maze, the most notorious prison in the country. Yet, by the grace of God and the influence of caring loved ones, this young man's life was transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thorough was the change that Thomas Martin became a powerful preacher whose testimony and ministry has seen many men and women brought to new life in Christ. Thomas Martin's story of the miracle of God's saving grace has been set down in a book entitled Out of the Maze, written by Noel Davidson. And Let the Bible Speak is happy to make copies of this encouraging and heartwarming book available free of charge to all who request it. For a free copy of Out of the Maze, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of Out of the Maze, and we'll be happy to provide it. few programs ago, Dr. Cairns began a message entitled Guilt-Free Christian Living, the first in an in-depth study of Romans chapter 8. The teaching of chapter 8 is first about the security of the believer, then of his sanctification. One of the most difficult battles the Christian has to fight is against the guilt of sin. A realization of Christ's vicarious suffering and death for his people is the path to victory over guilt. This is the glorious truth contained in Paul's opening statement in chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. To be in union with Christ means that believers have Christ as their representative before God the Father. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message called Guilt-Free Christian Living.
Jesus Christ first and foremost gives deliverance from guilt. All blameworthiness, all liability to punishment removed forever. There is therefore now no condemnation. Not some condemnation, not merely a little condemnation. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. In other words, God has already passed his verdict upon those who are in Christ. He has passed his verdict upon believers, and the verdict is not guilty. I want you to see these believers. Look at them. If you're a believer, look at yourself. Look around you tonight. Look at these believers. Were they not born in sin and shapen in iniquity? Have they not lived in breach of the law of God? Have they not been guilty of breaking every commandment in the book? Have they not been stained by wickedness and sin? How then can it be said that there's no condemnation? The Word of God would say, yes, they were born in sin. Yes, they have broken every law in the book. But what about it? The Word of God points you to the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it tells you He has dealt with it all. He has dealt with the sins of His people. So who is he that would accuse a Christian? Verse 33 of Romans 8 asks that very question. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's a tremendous question, is it not? Who shall lay anything? Who can walk into the courthouse of heaven and say, God Almighty, I have a charge to lay against a believer in Jesus Christ? Who can do it? God sends this out, this challenge out, throughout the whole universe of His creation. Where is there one who can come into the courthouse of heaven and lay a charge against a believer in Jesus Christ? Certainly not the Lord. He will never charge them. In fact, He silences the charge. He says, you want to charge these people? It is God that justifieth. God justifies them. God says, no condemnation, your charge is without basis. There is now no condemnation. That now will last forever. There will never be any condemnation. God has given the verdict. Not guilty. Let me pursue that a little further. God has absolutely no reason to condemn a believer in Jesus Christ. God is holy, God is righteous, God is the judge. But God has absolutely no reason to condemn a believer in Jesus Christ. Erasmus, in some ways a reluctant reformer of the corruptions of Rome, but not really a reformer, a brilliant but in many ways a tragic character in church history, man to whom we owe so much. Every time you lift your Bible, Remember, behind it lies a Greek text. Remember, Erasmus was the first modern author, or should I say editor, of the printed Greek text. We owe so much, and yet, as I say, such a tragic character. Did not want to follow where Luther was leading. Erasmus, when he came to this text, understood the words, "There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus," to mean that there is nothing in them worthy of condemnation. Now, the Reformed rejected that immediately. They violently disagreed with it, and I can see why. Because coming from a Roman Catholic, that would lead very easily to the doctrine of salvation by works. But I do not believe that Erasmus was wrong. He could be taken in a wrong way. Let me put it to you. Is there anything in a believer for God to condemn? Will you say his sin? Has Christ not dealt with his sin? Did Peter not say he bore our sins in his own body on the tree? Did he leave anything out? Did Paul not say God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us? Did the prophet Isaiah not tell us the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all? As the result of what Christ did on the cross, does Jehovah not say, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins? Now, if God has blotted them out like a thick cloud, if Jesus Christ has removed our sins, if he's taken away the guilt of our sin, if he's paid the penalty of our sin, I ask you again, is there anything left for God to condemn? The answer is absolutely nothing. That's a far cry from saying that in ourselves we're worthy of anything. According to our own works, we would be worthy of nothing but the wrath of God. But God is dealing with us in Christ. He's dealing with us in grace. And there's no reason for God to condemn a believer in Jesus Christ. Let me turn that around and put it another way. God has very good reason to accept believers in Jesus Christ. You see, all that the Lord Jesus Christ did pleased the Father. I think we could agree in that. Everything he did pleased the Father. He lived, and in his life, he pleased God. In his life, he fulfilled the law of God. He fulfilled all righteousness. In his life, he pleased God. But all that Jesus did, he did for his people. It is the central doctrine of the book of Romans that all that Jesus Christ did is placed to the account of his people. When he satisfied God, he did it in my name, if I'm a believer. He did it in your name, if you're a believer. All that he did is placed to your account. All his merit, all his obedience, all his action in life, all his passion in death, all the virtue of his holiness, all the virtue of his bloodshedding, all that Jesus did that has so pleased God has been put against the name of every believer. I let that sink in. As a man, does Jesus Christ deserve to be in heaven? As a man, has he earned the right of entrance to the right hand of God? The Bible tells us the answer to that. In Hebrews chapter 9, we're told that he entered in to the holiest by his own blood. Let that sink in. Let the meaning of it sink in. Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, as the second person of the Trinity, has the intrinsic right to be in heaven. He is God. But the Son of God became a man. He took into union with himself a true humanity. And remember this, for a man to enter heaven, he has to earn the right to be there. For a man to be on the throne of glory, he has to earn the right to ascend to that throne. That's what Paul is saying. He entered in by his own blood. By the virtue of his sacrifice, he earned the right to sit at God's right hand. Now back up a moment. All he did for his people. All he did is placed to the account of his people. All he did in the name of his believing people. If all he did is placed to our account, and he deserves that place in heaven. Do you see where this is leading? He gave his people a right. A right to enter into glory. So there's good reason for God to accept believers. They have all the same, follow me carefully, they have exactly the same right of acceptance as Jesus Christ has. They have the very same righteousness that Jesus Christ has, because he is their righteousness. We don't come before God with the tawdry rags of our own best efforts. Christ has taken those and has thrown them away forever. He clothes us. As Isaiah 61 verse 10 says, covers us with the robe of righteousness and with the garments of salvation. That's how believers appear before God. You remember the parable that the Lord Jesus told in Matthew 22? The parable of the marriage of the king's son. There they were all seated around the tables. The king comes in, and he looks around, and he's well satisfied. You've all the right to be here, except you. Why? How did you come here? Why did you come here? How dare you come here without wedding garments? What is the wedding garment? It's the garment I have described from Isaiah 61:10. It's the garment of salvation. It's the robe of righteousness. There is the reference as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornament and a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. This is the wedding garment. It's the robe of the righteousness of Christ. You see what it's saying? When God looks at people, he's not looking at how well you've performed. Oh, I want you to do your best for God. Can we be satisfied with giving the Lord anything less than our best? No. But that's not the basis of your acceptance with God. God's not looking, as I say, at the rags of our efforts. He's looking at the robe of the righteousness of Christ. And when he sees that, he sees Christ. He's well pleased. Follow my logic. He gives the believers the verdict, not guilty. He says, I have no reason to condemn you, for Christ has removed all your sins. I have every reason to accept you, for Christ has clothed you with the garments of his own righteous perfection. There is therefore now no condemnation. But notice this. That verdict is limited to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now that's the key to deliverance from guilt, the deliverance from the penalty of sin. That's what takes you out of Adam, puts you in to Christ. It's the grace of God putting you in union with Jesus Christ. Now you must understand this. This is more than a profession of faith. This is more than having an orthodox creed. This is more than being able to recite the Apostles' Creed or the Shorter Catechism. This is more than being able to give the 5 points of Calvinism. This is more than being able to give the fundamentalists the list of the fundamentals that have been given out from time to time. This is more than being a Presbyterian or a Baptist. This is more than being baptized by sprinkling or immersion. This is more than sitting at the Lord's table. This is more than religion. More than profession. More than head knowledge. There's something vital here. It's a personal, vital union with Christ. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that'll take you to heaven.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.